Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, National Award-winning Investor of the Year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. My address, if you want to contact me, is askdel@luinc.com, which stands for Lifestyles Unlimited, Inc. So it's askdel@luinc.com, askdel@luinc.com. And we can get your, you know, questions answered for you. It's me answering your questions, no one else. I take my own emails and so forth. So if you've got something, send it to me, and we'll see if we can get it. If it's good, we'll think about putting it on the radio as a question that we can answer. Today, my friends, we're going to talk about retirement. This all started with somebody sending me an article, said, would you comment on this article? And the link to the article wasn't effective, so I had to go back to look for the article itself. And the article is by Kiplinger. It says, 10 Reasons You'll Never Retire. So this is the article that the individual wanted me to comment on. After I read the article, which I'm going to cover with you today, I came to a distinct conclusion. They have no idea what they're talking about. And I came to another conclusion, that is, the reason people don't retire is because they don't know what retirement is and don't know how to get there. And that no matter what they tell you is the reason you're not retiring, it's really because of one thing. I'm going to save that one thing till after I go through this article because I want to make a point to you. I want you to see how far off base they really are. And then when I've made that point, then I'll come back and tell you how you solve the problem. Second thing I want to cover today is while I was looking up this article, I found about 20 articles on why you should never retire. And that one was even stranger to me because you're talking about people writing articles that have no idea what it is to retire. And so they think that by saying in an article and to try to scream it out to the world that, hey, you should never retire, they're letting themselves off the hook for never retiring. In other words, if I can't do it, you know, if I can't figure out how to retire, then why should I let you think you can? I have to make you believe it's the wrong thing to do. Therein, I can make myself feel better about myself, is the way I see what they're doing there. So I look at this thing and I'm thinking, man, it really is stacked against you. Almost everything out there, education-wise, is stacked against you in actually retiring. So these are the two angles that I'm going to take today. I kind of want to just blow them up. Or if nothing else, I want to put a light on them. You know, when you put a light, if you come into a room filled with roaches and you turn the light on, the roaches all have to run. They take off. And I hope today is like a light in a room filled with roaches. In other words, a room filled with lies about everything. So let's start this game out here, and this 10 reasons why you'll never retire. And reason number one is you're not saving in a retirement plan. Okay, I retired at 34 years of age. I've never had a retirement plan. I've never had a 401k, an IRA. Well, I did have an IRA one time. I did a rollover into an IRA once, something like that. But I didn't save into a 401k. I didn't save into an IRA. That's not how I retired. Had nothing to do with retiring. It has nothing to do with the retiring of the thousands of people that retired out of Lifestyles Unlimited. So there's a lie right off the bat. Let's go to number two. Number two is you are neglecting the company match. Well, you know, a company can only match up to a certain amount, whatever it is, 5%. I don't know the number anymore. It changes probably. It has changed over the years. But not relying on it. What does that mean? You automatically get the match if you put money into the 401k up to the limit, right? So when they're saying you're not relying and you're neglecting to take advantage of the company match, what you're really saying is you're not saving anything because the match is on the first dollars put into the 401k. So what they're really saying is you're not saving. It has nothing to do with the company match. And by the way, the company match isn't going to make you rich anyway. If it did, then everybody we know that has a 401k would be retired. But they don't. And again, lie number two. Now remember, who is this that wrote this article? It's Kiplinger. So these are financial guys, and they're selling financial services. So what do they want you to do? They want you to put your money into an instrument, a financial instrument that they control, that they make a return on. Here's a little piece that says here, the average company contribution to retirement plans in 2012 was 4.5% of pay, according to the annual survey by the plan sponsor, Council of America. But about 34% of employees said that more than half of their plan participants are not contributing enough to take advantage of the full employer match, according to the 2013 report. So in other words, pretty much what I said, if you don't put in, they match you dollar for dollar, so if you don't put the money in, then you don't get the match. Again, the problem is not the match. The problem is the money. You're not saving the money. Again, a mischaracterization of what's really going on. Number three, you didn't start saving early enough in your career. Well, at Lifestyles, we basically teach people how to retire in 2 to 7 years. I used to call it 5 to 7. Then people started doing it in 3 and started doing it in 2. I did it in 2.5. So now we let it leak out that it's 2 to 7 years. In fact, sometimes people even say 2 to 5 years. Bottom line, though, early enough? What is early enough if you can start now and in 5 to 7 years be retired? What is early enough? Do you have to start in your 20s? Your 30s, 40s, 50s? Let's say you started in your 50 and you did what we teach to do, and in 7 years, 57, you're retired. Or in 5 years, 55, you're retired. Or in 2 years, at 52, you're retired. In fact, if you're 60 and you can do it in 2 years, isn't 62 still good? But the reality is that starting early may be better. It may allow you more years to save money, but it still isn't the reason why you're not retiring. And again, when we get to the end, I'm going to tell you why you're actually not retiring instead of all these lies that these people are making up. These are hypotheses. A hypothesis is basically something somebody believes to be true and then sets out to prove it to be true. And if a large percentage of people out there don't retire, then their hypothesis can be anything they want it to be. And they can basically blame it on these things they're blaming it on. The next one, number four, is you use your nest egg as a piggy bank. In other words, people take money out of their retirement funds to buy cars, to pay off their houses, to put a down payment on a house or whatever, put their kids through college, whatever, the whole bit. And so you're using it like a savings account. And what they're contending is a retirement fund should never be a savings account. It should be a retirement fund. And you should never touch it. From age 20 to age 65 or 70 or whatever it is when you're going to retire, you just don't touch it. So they're saying, because you've taken some money. Now, how many people in their life get to the point where they need some money for some major expense? And if they take all their money and put it in savings, let's say you put it in your 401k, there's no place to get money then except your 401k because you don't have any other money. So again, it's a lie. Moving on here, number five, you cashed out when switching jobs. In other words, you can't get your money out of your 401k except when you don't work there anymore. So when people get out of a job and they see that for the first time they're able to get that money that they could never get to before, it's very enticing to take that money out. That's the exciting thing for them to do, is to get to some money for the first time because they've never had money. So they cash it out. And again, there's no retirement fund left. Number six, you're not saving enough. All right. This is brilliant stuff. I mean, do you think you should pay these guys millions of dollars as financial planners a year to figure out these basically stupid concepts? People do. You guys pay these guys millions of dollars to teach you how to do something that doesn't work anyway, and yet blame it on you because you're not saving enough. That's your problem. It's not that savings doesn't work. It's you're not doing it. You're not saving enough. Number seven, you haven't played catch up. In other words, every once in a while you get behind, or every once in a while you started too late, or every once in a while you had to take some money out. You should, whenever possible, put more back in. Get caught up to where you're on the savings curve that will get you where you need to be. Number eight, you save your kids' college instead of for your retirement. Nah, let's not send the kids to college. Let's just retire. And number nine, you haven't created a retirement budget. You're not even retired yet. Why do you need a retirement budget? Number 10, you haven't planned to maximize your Social Security benefits. And you know how you maximize your Social Security benefits? Don't retire. We'll take a short break. Be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Everyone is asking, is it still a good time to invest in real estate?
We see no indication that for the foreseeable future, and even the unforeseeable future, no indication whatsoever that real estate is suddenly not going to be the best vehicle for creating wealth and passive income for your family. And so that would say that now is the time to get in. And we very rarely talk about this because we talk about cash flow. But now we're talking a little bit about capital gains and what the future brings in that property. Because it's real. At the end of the day, you have all your cash flow, but you've got this nice capital gain when you sell. And the inflation that we see and the reasons for it are going to continue. And we're going to see great capital gains at the end of the line when we sell these properties.
Get in on the next free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're discussing retirement and an article put out by Kiplinger of 10 reasons why you'll probably not ever retire, be able to retire. And I just wanted to say that the point I was making by going through all this article and everything is to prove that everything they say is based on a lie. It's based on a misunderstanding or perception of retirement. Let me clarify that for you. This is the reason most people don't retire. It's they don't understand what retirement is. Most people believe that retirement is a designated age where you have become useless to society, useless to yourself, and at this point, you cease to have any contribution to provide for society, and you need to have enough money saved up that you can live off the money you have saved. That's the concept. And the flaws in that concept is that retirement, to me, is not the end of our adventures in life. Is not the end of our creativity. It's the beginning. It's the opening up of the opportunity for the first time in your life to do what you want, when you want, with whom you want, where you want, how you want, etc., etc., etc. So what does that mean? That means that you're believing that you're coming to the end, that it's over. And how can you psychologically ever prepare for anything that says you're over? It won't work. And if you believe in think and grow rich concepts, which is whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe it can achieve, if you conceive and believe you don't want to be worthless, then you definitely can achieve working for the rest of your life. That's the number one problem. You don't believe you can retire. You don't believe you want to retire. Now, the secondary problem with all this is that you've been told the only way to retire is to live off your savings. And savings is not going to get you there. There's no way. It's not the amount of money you have, it's the amount of money you earn. If you were to stop your job tomorrow, you'd maybe last 6 months, maybe a year, maybe a year and a half. You're spending $100,000 a year. You're earning $100,000 a year. You have $100,000 in the bank. That means you got 1 year. Yeah, you could cut back and you could starve yourself. Just like I said, you'd have your retirement budget, which means stop doing anything, stop having anything, live like a hermit, and you'll last longer. But that's not retirement. That's death. So what's the problem? The problem is retirement is a point at which you have figured out how to replace your earned income with some other income. Now, in the old days, people had pensions, and the government supplemented those pensions with Social Security. Neither of those are saved up money situations. They are never ending supplies of fresh money to live off of. So when you stop earning new dollars, and I like to call this regular reoccurring income, regular means it's on a week by week or month by month or quarter by quarter basis. In other words, you know when that money's coming in. It's reoccurring. It happens every single week, month, or quarter, whatever it is. And it's income. It's not savings, because you eat your savings up very quickly. You have to live off the income. Now, the real problem is that the money you've saved is earning nothing. That's your real problem. And your financial planner can't figure out how to beat that, how to break that cycle, because they don't know how to retire. They know how to earn money by being your financial planner. So they've got a job. They're earning new, fresh, regular, reoccurring income from you. But you're not earning any new, regular, reoccurring income by what they're doing for you. You have no income. This has all been exacerbated over the last 10 years by the fact that you used to be able to buy bonds and CDs at anywhere from 10 to 15%. So if you had a pretty good savings, you know, if you had a life savings, you could just buy something that created income. But the average interest rate right now is less than 0.5%. Even if you had millions in the bank, you can't live on less than 0.5%. So what do? You seek more aggressive income streams. How? You gamble. You buy things you hope go up in value. What do you buy? You buy stocks and gamble. You buy gold and silver and gamble and hope this stuff goes up in value. And the problem with gambling is you may make some money, but you also can lose some money. And when you lose your nest egg, you don't have any way to earn it back anymore. So they start giving you all kinds of parameters to try to keep that from happening. Like, for instance, you can afford to be riskier. In other words, have a larger allocation of stocks if you're younger. Because if you lose it all, you can still earn it back. As you get older, you need to allocate away from risk and go more to fixed income type things that won't go away, like CDs. The money won't just disappear. Now, bonds can disappear. If interest rates go down, bonds go up. But if interest rates go up, bonds lose their value. And right now, we're in the lowest interest rate environment in the world, and the Democrats are trying to create massive inflation. So what do you think is going to happen to bonds? Interest rates are going to have to go up. That means bonds are going to lose value left and right. Boom, 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 boom. And so you're in massive risk. So here you are. You can't figure out how to replace your income. The reality is retirement is, by definition, in my world, our world, those of us who have retired and will retire, the definition of retirement is the point at which your passive income replaces your earned income on a regular, reoccurring basis. Hey, you can go out and do something like flip a house and make some money. That's not regular and reoccurring, and that's not passive. So you haven't retired. I hear people all the time saying, well, again, I do real estate, I retired. No, you don't. You work. You're out there flipping houses and remodeling stuff and cleaning and the whole bit. Painting. That's not retirement. It's just another line of work. So we have to learn how to replace our earned income with passive streams of income. And that's what I've been teaching people for 30 years. And that's why it works. And that's why it works. It's because we're able to replace our earned income with regular, reoccurring, passive streams of income. And with that, we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about why they're saying you shouldn't retire.
Wamsley on the economy and politics.
What happens if the economy turns around and goes back down now the Democrats are in power, or inflation becomes rampant and all of a sudden it becomes very difficult to do business? I was listening to an economist the other day, and he pulled out this chart of GDP. He said, look, here's what I want you to do. He said, tell me anywhere from 1950 to 2021 where the Democrats took power and where the Republicans took power. He said, point it out for me. And the truth of the matter is you can't tell.
If you're sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what the politicians are going to do, or waiting to see what the economy is going to do, if you're trying to predict the future, stop. Politicians and the economy have no bearing on your success or failure. Only you do. Register for the next live online free workshop. We'll unfold the map to retirement in 5 years or less, regardless of what's going on in the world. It's the same proven strategies we've been using for 30 years through every political party and economic cycle you can think of. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we're discussing, in the first half of the show has been about why you'll never retire, because you have the wrong view of retirement. If you have the wrong view of it, there's obviously no way you're going to go figure out how to do what you really need to do, because everything these people are telling you is a lie. And we know it's a lie because they're telling you they're experts at financial planning, yet they themselves are workers. They're still working. They're not retired. Well, we covered that pretty well, so I'm going to go in the second half of the show now and cover this concept of, well, if I can't do it myself, then I'll teach other people they can't do it. And if I can't teach other people they can't do it, then I'll teach them they shouldn't do it. And if I can't do that, then I'll have the government outlaw it somehow. In other words, the only way I'm going to be happy is by bringing my misery onto you. So I got this article here called Why You Shouldn't Retire, put out by somebody I've never heard of before. It's called Retirement May Not Be As Glamorous As You Think. It's by somebody called Start It Up. I'm going to read this to you because it's the setup that they used to go into this article. And I want to show you how even the setup is a lie. From the very beginning of the article, they're lying before you even get started on the article. It says, we live in a society where our relationship with work is deeply polarizing. On one side of the spectrum, you have the hustle culture, people promoting the idea that you should work tirelessly, sacrifice everything from your sleep to your social life in the interest of growing your business and achieving your goals. You can sleep when you're dead. This would be a Grant Cardone type of guy who is constantly talking about 10Xing everything, and you've got my money, and I'm going to get my money back from you, and I'm nothing if I can't get more money. I have to 10X everything I do, right? That kind of guy. On the other side, you have those condemn our toxic work culture for draining our energy and taking time away from our families, hobbies, rest, overall well-being, while giving the little in return for our sacrifice. That would be my side. It goes on and says, the overreaching theme of both of these camps is driven by passion for money and how we make it. In the recent years, social media has been flooded with new influences on gaining hundreds of thousands of followers online, teaching young people about money. You've got the digital nomads, the FIRE, financial independence and retire early people. I guess he's talking about me. The rent hackers, the Amazon FBA aficionados, and the list goes on. Ultimately, it seems the goal is to save as much money as you can quickly as you can so you can retire and finally live a good life. My friends, think of the ignorance that just got spewed out of that last paragraph. I just showed you and just proved to you and explained to you retirement is not about a pile of money. Yet here's a guy arguing that he is going to tell you why you shouldn't retire when he still doesn't even know how to retire. And even though he named 20 different people that are selling programs on how to create passive income, whoever it is wrote this article is so stupid. They don't even get that that's what those articles are about, or those programs are about. It's about passive income. So as you go on here and you read this, it says, I'm going to read it again. Ultimately, it seems the goal is to save as much money as you can quickly. That is not the goal. This person has no idea. All those things that they named off, making money on the internet, is about making money. Rent collectors, that's about collecting rent. Nothing there. What we do is not about saving money. It's about creating passive income. And I'm telling you, you read this, and before you even get out of the first segment, they've already lied to you. They've told you that everything you're going to read about, everything you're going to study, everything you're going to do in life is to figure out how to save more money. And you already know that doesn't work, so you might as well throw the article away. But no, let's write an article and tell you why you shouldn't retire. Why would we do that? Because it'll make you feel better about not knowing how to retire. Wow. That's a good idea. So it starts by talking about escaping the 9-to-5. It's unsurprising that so many people look forward to retirement. Studies show that up to 85% of full-time workers hate their jobs. He goes on and says, but if you look deeper, that's not really a problem. The problem is they don't hate work, they hate their job. Well, I don't know what this guy thinks or gal thinks that your job is. Do you think, I just got up and I thought maybe today I'd be an expert canasta player or a chess player. I'm going to do something I like and that's going to be my job. No, a job is where you go and some mean person tells you what to do and they're never satisfied with what you do and the customers are always miserable to you. Jobs are demoralizing in most cases. And what they're saying is, no. Really, what you need to do is just change jobs. Don't quit. Don't retire. Just change jobs. The next thing he comes up with is a reason for living. I have a big problem with the idea that the purpose of work is limited to making money so you can provide for your family and save for your retirement. And my problem is that the way people perceive retirement and the way they demonize work as an unpleasant thing we have to do is inherently flawed. No, it's not. You can't figure out how to get out of it, so you have to rationalize it. But what you don't understand is you say, I don't want to stop working because it's a reason to live. It's a part of me. Remember, how do you define anybody? Hi, tell me about yourself. I am a fireman, a nurse, a doctor, a lawyer, a CPA, a father, a mother, a spouse. What you do is who you are. And what this article is saying, if you stop working, you're nobody. You can never be anybody ever again, which is insane. There is more reason to live once you get out of your job than there ever was with your job in most cases. In fact, I found once I retired, I got so busy, I had so much stuff to do that I'd always wanted to do that I never could do. And once you can do it, you open up all these doors, and these doors open up new doors, and those doors open up more doors, and it's like concentric circles that just go farther and farther and farther, and you have more and more influence in your life because you can do more and more stuff. And the more stuff you touch, the more influence you have, and the bigger your life is, and the better your life is. But no, they want you to stay in the cubicle because they can't figure out how to get out of it. Goes on and says, the value of effort. If all things were easy in life, there would be nothing to drive us forward, kind of statement. And again, this person doesn't know what retirement is. There's all kinds of things you can create effort on. You can try to go from one unit to four units to eight units to 12 to 20 to 100 to 200 to 500 to 1,000 to 10,000 units. That's effort. You can try to figure out how to run it without you being involved at all, and putting more effort into organization, management, hiring, and firing, as opposed to putting effort into actually doing any of the work yourself. You have to effort at becoming a better leader instead of a worker. You could put effort into being more healthy and living longer. You could put effort into being a good husband, wife, mother, father. Put effort into being a grandmother, a grandfather. You could put effort into your family. You could put effort into your friends. You could get involved in your local neighborhood, block, community, subdivision, neighborhood, city, state. You could put effort into all those things. But no, You need a job to have any reason to create effort. The key to a healthy retirement, with everything in mind, we need to rethink when and if we should retire. If you find joy and fulfillment in a 9-to-5 job, then don't let society pressure you to dictate to you, decide to hand over the reins to someone else. So it's society telling you you have to retire. It's not that burning gut feeling every day when you get in the car and drive for an hour to go to work. It's not that looking up at the clock 20 times a day to see if the day is over yet so you can go home, and that drive back through that traffic again. It's not that paying the bills at the end of the month and seeing there's more bills than there are money. Those aren't the real pains. No, it's society crushing you with the thought that you should think you should retire someday. Why should you not retire? Because you need to stay active. You need to flex your brain muscles. You need to keep exploring. Which is the concept of saying you're not going to be able to do that if you don't have a job? That is ridiculous.
Now, from the files of Del Wamsley.
The word esoteric, or more commonly esoteric, most commonly means obscure and only understood or intended to be understood by a small number of people with special and perhaps even secret knowledge. It's often used to describe knowledge that's only intended to be revealed to people who have been initiated into a certain group. So my friends, what that means is I'm assuming that you were initiated into my group of people that are ready to hear some of the most provocative information that you've ever heard in your life. And it's a completely different way to look at life, completely different than what society wants you to look at life, what Stephen Covey called the maturity continuum. And his basic concept in the maturity continuum conversation is that most people get older, they get taller, they get more educated, they get smarter, but they don't mature. They're not any better of a person than what they were when they were young. And he talks about three different levels of maturity. Number one is dependency. Number two is becoming independent. And number three is becoming interdependent. We'll take a short break. Be right back.
We sold one of my wife's properties and actually did a 1031 exchange, and we bought three brand new builds in Fort Worth. So right now, collectively, we have three of her inherited properties and then three properties in Fort Worth that we've done through Lifestyles.
And you turn one property into three, tripling your cash flow.
Exactly.
Yep.
Well done.
Learn to increase your cash flow. Register for the workshop at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. My address, if you want to contact me, is askdel@luinc.com. I've got another email here I want to share with you. It's another tenant question. Along the same lines as the one we talked about before, but a little bit different, and I'll share this one with you. It says, how does your property management handle tenants that put in maintenance requests every month that end up being landlord responsibilities? Okay, let's start there with one sentence, and then we'll break this paragraph down sentence by sentence. First thing we do is, before we let any tenant move into any house we have or any apartment we have, we make sure everything is absolutely perfect. Now you think about it. If everything is perfect, there's no reason for a tenant to call you and say that there's a repair. So a lot of landlords just let people move in, and then they find out the stuff is wrong as the tenants bring it to their attention that it's wrong. We don't let that happen because we fix everything. There's nothing to call us about. If everything is perfect, everything is perfect. There's no understanding that. Say, well, what if something breaks? Things don't break. I want you to stare at something and watch it break. Things don't break. People wear things out. And over periods of time, mechanical things wear out. And so if you've got a water heater and it's 10 years old and the tenant moves in and you haven't replaced it for 10 years and the water heater wears out on the 10-year and 2-day mark, it's not that tenant's fault. And he's calling you because he's got problems and he wants them fixed. and it is your fault, and it is your price and your problem and your money. We had somebody inspect our water heaters the other day. I'm just using water heaters because we saw water in the pan under the water heater. What does that mean? That means there's rust and the water heater is about ready to go out. So we call in a plumber, we get a bid, we got to replace the water heaters. If we don't replace the water heaters, they're going to break. And then we're going to have a problem. And since we're not tenants, we wouldn't be calling anybody. We'd be calling ourselves, but we'll be irritated at ourselves because we let it happen. So this guy has got to see that. There is nothing to break that's your fault unless it wears out. Goes on. I've also had tenants that never broke anything. Of course you've had tenants that never broke anything. Because some tenants are great, and some tenants are great until they're not. And once they're not, then they're not. Next. Also, do you have anyone that's willing to do a HELOC on a home where the owner has bad credit and lots of equity so I can join your mentoring program? If you have lots of equity, you can get an asset-based loan. In other words, they're going to tie up your house and give you some portion of what it's worth, but not a large portion of what it's worth. They might give you 50%, 50, 60 cents on the dollar. And yes, they can do that. Do I know them? No, I do not, because I don't have bad credit. So I don't deal with those particular concerned people. However, they're out there, and you can look them up. I'm trying to think of, I can even think of somebody to send you to, but I really can't because, again, I do multifamily myself now. I don't do single family, so I don't even know single family lenders. But the answer is yes, there are people out there that will do it for you. Next question. You mentioned finance or sell. Currently, depending on the income, I'm not sure about you because it all hot air on the radio, no proof of evidence what you do. Wow. That's an interesting statement. You mentioned refinance or sell, but I currently depend on the income, must be of the property, and I'm not sure about you because it's all hot air on the radio, no proof of evidence that your idea works. Wow. That's an amazing statement, is it not? It just in and of itself. 30 years I've been bringing people on here once or twice a week, testifying to the success. We have people every single month in every office we have getting up and testifying to the results. And to this guy, it's all hot air. Wonder why the guy has bad credit. Maybe it has to do with his approach to life. And he thinks everything is hot air. I've never heard you bring a tenant on the air and tell you that they're happy. Well, guy, my product is education for investors, not education for tenants. So I'm not going to bring tenants on. I'm going to stay 98 to 100% occupied by doing right to tenants, but I'm not going to bring a tenant on the radio to tell you he's a happy tenant. Instead, I'm going to bring you in someone who's retired.
Now, from the files of Del Wamsley.
Each and every email is a person's personal feelings about where they are. So if you're sitting out there, as many people have, and you're asking yourself, how is this relevant to me? Am I like these people or not? Let's go ahead and read this. It says, I started listening to the radio show maybe a year ago. It was just after I came to the great epiphany that if we, that's her and her husband, had never invested in real estate, my husband and I would have had a lot more fun. There it is. What a statement. Say, Del, why would you read something like that? You got to listen to this. Very important. Said, I was married in 77 and we bought our first house the same year. Before that, we fished, camped, and water skied, danced, and partied. We had fun. Now remember, I've always told you it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. It's about those things is why you want to have passive income. It's why you want to be financially free so you can do those things. What she's saying is before we even tried to get money, we had those things, which leads us back to the point that I made in the radio show the other day about the fisherman, which is a lot of times people go to work and work the rest of their lives to try to get ahead far enough that they can afford to take some vacation and go do the fun things that they could really afford to do right now. Which means instead of trying to make a ton of money to live the rest of your life in a great lifestyle, what you really need to do is you really need to go out there and put together the lifestyle you want and then find a way to finance it. In other words, not finance it, but to facilitate it financially. That's really what you need to do. And if you don't do it that way, you do it the other way around, you will forever be working. That's all there is to it. And this lady said, look, we started doing this stuff. Let's read on and see what she said here. It says, with the house, we were working on the house, then rehabbing a duplex down the block. Moved to Alaska in 81, sold all the property, had fun till we started buying real estate. He died in 2015. Definitely didn't want to hear a show on real estate, but it was a long drive. So she's listening. She says, I really don't want to hear about this. I already realized real estate is terrible. It ruined her and her husband's life. But I was really impressed with the culture of your organization and the ethics. Turned me around. Realized that if I could learn how to do real estate the right way instead of my husband reinventing the wheel when there was a perfectly good wheel right in front of him, I might just like it. Figured it was worth a try. So there you go. Have a great day. Hope that answers your questions. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.